Jessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I bet you want my body. Bet you thought about
Vanessa is dancing.
And there's a fan in here now, so my fan's like blowing in the wind.
Oh my God, this is a music video.
Do I look like Sierra? Say yes.
I mean, sure.
Looking
yeah.
For the goodies, but you in the job.
This is incredible. Oh, Twitch.tv/ESPN975. You're going to make all of our listeners big horny. I'm a professional journalist.
Quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's start with Deshaun Watson. Cleveland is out.
Okay.
Cleveland is out, and that is per Adam Schefter and Mike Garafolo and a myriad of other people that report that it's basically down to the Saints and Falcons. Carolina hasn't, I guess, been informed yet, but the report from Aaron Wilson is that it's down to the Saints and the Falcons. So the Saints met again with Watson last night. This time, owner Gail Benson was there. They cleared some cap space, and we're finding out more about who could be part of the deal. Aaron Wilson says offensive guard Cesar Ruiz could be part of it.
Right.
But I think the main thing there is that they met with him again. The owner was there. They're rolling out the red carpet. The Falcons are doing the same, only Deshaun actually went to Atlanta, which is essentially near where he's from. And so, look, these are opposite situations. If Deshaun goes to the Saints, it is a established team. Now, yep. Sean Payton's not there, but you have weapons. You have a great defense. You have a winning culture. You have all of that.
Some continuity with Dennis Allen, too.
Totally. And you have a female owner that could possibly help rebuild his image if you are, if he chooses the Falcons. Kind of a totally different story, Paul, because not a great team. They're working on getting pieces around him.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a great defense. But the angle there is that it's home.
You have Kyle Pitts, who you hope can be the next Rob Gronkowski. You have in Arthur Smith, a head coach that made Ryan Tannehill look very good. But outside of that, I mean, you're a team that's best known for having a quarterback in Matt Ryan with an absolutely murderous cap hit. And he's 37 years old, and he's not the same player anymore. So if you're looking at the two situations, I'm really hoping that whatever welcome wagon the Falcons supposedly rolled out in Flowery Branch was a great one, because the Saints can give you pieces now. Those secondary pieces that you listed, Cesar Ruiz or Ryan Ramczyk or Marcus Davenport, no, those would be great additions to this team. But long term, I don't know. I don't know how long those guys would want to stay here. I don't know if those guys in a couple of years would be feeling like we thought Laremy Tunsil felt this past year. Where with Atlanta, I think you're going to find not only would you get picks now, a couple of second-round picks this year that they have, a first-round pick that's a good first-round pick this year, you also would be, I think, getting first-round picks in the next couple of seasons that would be better than what New Orleans would probably have.
Yeah, that's a great point. Per source, this is according to Pro Football Talk with Mike Florio, Deshaun Watson is, quote, incredibly torn. He was impressed by the presentations from all four teams. They've made it difficult for him to make a choice. There's no specific timetable for the decision. So we know Cleveland is out. Cleveland has been informed that they're out. So technically the Panthers are still in it, but I think we both can read the writing on the wall that it's down to the Saints and the Falcons, unless there's an 11th hour attempt by the Carolina Panthers. Okay, if you're a Texans fan, get at us on Twitch or tweet us. I'm at SportsVanessa. He's at Gallant Says. Of course, you can call into the text into the text line, which the number for that is, Paul?
You're almost getting it. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. It's only been a month. It's fine. You don't have to know it right away.
I need
or
to write
a month
it down.
Into it. It's in our show rundown. What are you talking about?
Oh, wait, is it really?
It's fine, though, because you just like increased our Twitch audience by double because you were dancing around like Ciara. Or Sierra.
With the fan.
Right, and there's a fan. The fan is clutch.
I bet you want my body.
What's up? Hey. What's going on? How you doing? I'm just thinking about, what year did that song come out in?
Oh, Goodies by Sierra and Petey
Pablo.
Pablo.
Oh, Petey Pablo, like Raise Up? North Carolina going to raise
it
up?
It came out.
Take
in
your shirt off, twist it around your head like a helicopter?
2004.
Oh, my. Wow. She's been around that long?
I got a sick reputation for handling frogs. All I need is a few seconds or more.
Oh, keep going. I mean, come on.
It's a wrap. Tell Valet to bring my lack. I ain't coming back.
I think they're talking about the sex there.
They are.
They are talking about intercourse and any children, earmuffs. Oh, wait. It's too late. It's too late for that. Yes, because I remember hearing that song at high school dances. And I date Vanessa by about 6 years. And I remember awkwardly grinding on folks at high school dances.
See, where you're from, where you're from, the guys grind on the girls. It's so weird.
Well, I mean,
that's some backwoods.
Wait, what?
East Coast stuff.
I mean, it's. I thought it was mutual grinding. I thought it was. That was from Florida. So, I mean, cut me some slack. I can't help where I'm from. It was the same thing at college too.
No. Oh. Deshaun Watson meets with the Falcons in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Their headquarters are in Flowery Branch. Which
what a douchey
is
city
nice.
Name. I mean, that sounds douchier than the two schools that I went to before college. Shorecrest Preparatory School, Thayer Academy, or Flowery Branch.
Yeah.
Flowery Branch sounds like a country club that doesn't allow people that aren't white on the course.
Meanwhile, I went to all public schools in Terre Haute, Indiana. So.
Yeah, you're a woman of the people. Dancing like Ciara with wind blowing through your hair.
Look, I'm just looking for my next suitor.
This fan is clutch, though.
Yeah, it feels really, really good. So the Saints are at least making a lot of attempts regarding the cap, because that was one of the storylines, is that they weren't going to have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
Field Yates tweeted 2 hours ago, the Saints have restructured the contracts of quarterback Taysom Hill, cornerback Bradley Roby, throwback, linebacker DeMario Davis, and safety Malcolm Jenkins to clear major cap space. The Saints are now officially at $29.9 million in cap space.
$29.9. Okay. So there's still, I would imagine, would have to be something else done to get Watson on the books so that they'd have a little bit of flexibility. And I'm assuming, too, that wherever Watson goes, there's probably going to be some sort of new deal that he gets. Because I think that would make it a lot easier for whatever team brings him in. Now, how that works, I'm not sure. And look, all the cap people, I'm not going to lie. When you talk about cap versus when you read about cap, it's totally different, is it not?
100%.
I am too stupid to explain
no,
math.
No, I mean, look, if you work in media, you're probably not great at math. Like,
no,
that's why
not.
A lot of us got into media.
And if you're listening, how many people are actually good at listening to math and being able to process it? I feel like those people are absolute mensas out there. But in this situation, I'm very curious to see what's going to be done. Because the problem with the Falcons is that the Falcons have that contract on the books of Matt Ryan. So that means that there probably needs to be another suitor for Matt Ryan. And I wonder who that would be. You know, we've touched on how the Colts are definitely looking for a quarterback. Would you want Matt Ryan on the Colts?
I think that Matt Ryan is a very, very temporary solution.
Okay.
By the way, 0831 texter just said, shout out to Indiana, from Indianapolis, but in Houston since 2008. Hello, 0831. Hello, friend. No, I wouldn't, because I think that they need a long-term solution. The problem is that it is not a good year for quarterbacks.
Where do you get the long-term solution if you're Indy? And, I mean, I'm happy they
where
don't have
the
long-term solution.
Where do you get it this year?
Right, yeah.
You don't.
Which
is the problem, because you're going now from Philip Rivers to who was in his final year,
mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz, bust, and then you're going to bring in Matt Ryan?
Or Baker Mayfield? Those are the options for Indianapolis.
If you're Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, you are in a tough spot. Because I think the heat is on both of them. Now, Jim Irsay did give them both contract extensions, but the quarterback dominoes are going to fall. And I think this is logic. This isn't a hot take. Once Deshaun Watson ends up where he ends up, all the rest of the dominoes fall.
I'm still flabbergasted, Vanessa, because we talked about this, I think it was last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, where we talked about what AFC South team has the worst quarterback situation. And the Colts was like 5%. And I thought to myself, no, the Colts are in the worst spot because they don't like Carson Wentz. And they're good enough where the avenue to the next quarterback isn't there. The Titans have Ryan Tannehill. They know that there's a ceiling with Ryan Tannehill, but at least they've won with Ryan Tannehill. So it's not the
absolute
worst.
Yeah, the Colts are
not
in a good spot. And the funny thing is that it's funny people don't agree with that, because like the owner and the coach and the GM have essentially said we're in a tough spot.
Seriously, that's
like,
what I don't get.
They've actually said those things in press conferences. We like Carson, but we didn't perform. Jags loss, by the way, was the worst in franchise history, and it's not even close.
I legitimately feel like the Texans are in a better quarterback situation.
Yeah, because Davis Mills, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know what he's going to be. You don't expect much. But, okay, at least first off, they're going to have some draft picks in the next couple of seasons. The Jaguars have Trevor Lawrence. But I was surprised. Like, the Texans were by far the worst quarterback situation in that poll. And the Colts were by far the fewest. And I just thought everyone was crazy for voting that way.
Yeah, you're accurate. You're 100% right.
Maybe they didn't understand the question.
A lot of people would agree with you. Okay, so Saints creating some cap space. Mm-hmm. We will see how they roll out the red carpet if they do any more. We know that they met again with Deshaun Watson last night.
That is noteworthy that they met again last night because he was in Atlanta yesterday, too.
Right.
That, I mean, that's where that meeting took place. So they've met him twice. So they're clearly like, okay, we're not going to let this happen. And by the way, Vanessa, how aware are you of the Saints-Falcons rivalry?
Sean Payton doesn't seem like he's aware of it at all.
So it's one of the most intense rivalries in the NFL. It's
weird. Yeah. I'm laughing because he tweeted and said rivalry question mark because the Saints have won.
Yeah. It's that's a great point because the Saints have owned that ass. That is
like,
true.
Like, he literally tweeted rivalry question mark when somebody tweeted about it.
This is one of those random places where you would not expect, like, someone, if you are in New Orleans wearing a Falcons hat, they'll tell you, like, go bleep yourself, 28-3. They were celebrating that 28-3 collapse, like, unlike pretty much any city in the country. Because, again, you would be essentially cheering for the Patriots to win a Super Bowl if you're rooting for a team to come back 28-3 against the Falcons. They think this is probably one of the best days in their sports history. And Falcons fans, they hate the Saints. They hate them. They used to be able to call them the Aints, and now they can't. But now things are back on a level playing field. Anyway, I can understand why the Saints are coming right after the Falcons and trying to make sure. Those two franchises hate each other, and it's a sort of forgotten rivalry in the NFL.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, some of the moves that the Texans have made in free agency. No huge splashes, but we'll get to that coming up next on Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Automatic, supersonic, hip, tonic, funky, fresh, work my body so melodic.
Is this also Sura?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. You're not special, Vanessa. You're not special.
Sierra's good. She had a lot of hits.
I started watching that show on Netflix, by the way.
Which one?
Inventing Anna.
Oh, okay. I need all your thoughts on this.
So in a nutshell, and I don't want to bore people too much with it. In a nutshell, and it's on Netflix, it stars Ruth from
Ozark.
Ozark, thank you.
Julia Garner.
I cannot stand everyone in the show. I'm only watching because I'm told the guy from Firefest is going to make an appearance at some point. Not the actual guy from Firefest, but the guy from Firefest apparently somehow gets into this story somewhere down the road. I cannot deal with all of these yuppie New Yorkers.
And they're so dumb.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, I hate them all, and I hate how
everyone acts like she was so smart. She wasn't. They were just dumb.
No, that's what I can't get past, is all of these people acting so haughty and arrogant and all these things. And I'm just like, God, I hate New Yorkers.
They're like, she was so convincing.
Mm-hmm.
No, she wasn't.
No. How are you convinced by the
accent?
She had
no money.
Right.
And these hotels deserve to lose money for letting her stay there and not having a card on file.
Yes. So that has been our Inventing Anna talk, but the accent is something else.
Yeah, it was really bad.
They're not special, Vanessa.
So, speaking of the... wait. Not speaking of Anna.
Yes?
Speaking of the Texans. The Texans signed Eric Murray essentially to a two-year deal.
Did you see the reaction to this, though?
Yeah, this was a lot.
So you watched a lot more of the Texans than I did last year. I'll admit that. I'm still catching up on basically what took place last year. But based off of the 7, by my count, WTFs that were in response to that, and the several comments like, he's the tank weapon in case Mills regresses, or, still tanking, I see, and a lot of just whys, this is a very unpopular re-signing by Nick Caseria.
It is. I think he showed possibly some spurts of potential, but he got more money than Desmond King.
Huh.
I mean, it's just very odd. I think any move Nick Caserio makes, he's going to look at value and what he thinks that person is worth. But for somebody like Eric Murray that didn't show a lot of production, that didn't show Texans fans that he can be a solid player, I think it's a reminder that they are still in rebuild mode. To me, I mean, I think it's a reminder, like, these are the kinds of guys that the Texans are attracting right now that they think can make a difference.
They clearly feel like there is potential upside because they gave him a 2-year contract as opposed to
a 1-year
contract.
Yeah.
It probably will end up being a 1-year deal, which I think is important to note. But I am surprised, based off of the reaction, that they brought him back. And I got a bone to pick with some people, Vanessa, that continuously get pissy about the Texans trading late draft picks to acquire players. So they traded for this guy named Blake Cashman, who, if I'm not mistaken, has this absolutely ridiculous cover of him, like on some sort of magazine somewhere, that people are making fun of to an extent. He's a really fast linebacker. First off, I'm all for fast linebackers. Find fast linebackers. Just don't pay them stupid contracts like you did with Zach Cunningham or Bernardrick McKinney. Those contracts were stupid. You shouldn't pay a middle linebacker. I think the Seahawks, that's why they cut Bobby Wagner, because they were paying him just a stupid amount of money. But they traded a late-round pick for a guy that they feel like is a proven player. And everyone, Vanessa, seems to get upset when the Texans trade a late-round draft pick, and then the late-round draft pick doesn't work out. So, for example, when the Texans traded for Marcus Cannon, right? Or when they traded for some of the other players that they brought in. People get so upset when the trade doesn't work out. Oh, my God, Nick Caserio screwed up with this late-round pick. It's a late-round pick. Who cares? Who cares? Like, it doesn't matter.
The
it's a late-round pick.
Is that if Nick Caserio nails this Deshaun Watson, like, if he gets great return value, Lovie Smith ends up working out, all things considered, then, to your point, at that point, people are just being critical of the other little stuff.
But it's very tiny details. Like, I know one of my buddies, Mike Meltzer, gets frustrated with this. I know I've heard Jeremy talk about this, about how, hey, look, I mean, he messed up on that trade. I think I've heard Jake say this too. And I'm just like, it's a late-round draft pick. It doesn't matter. That guy is a camp body at best, a backup at best. For the most part, these guys, you look at them, they're not going to do anything. So why would you bother keeping a late-round draft pick when you could potentially trade it for someone that ends up being good? I saw this in Seattle. It worked out pretty well. Fifth-round pick for Carlos Dunlap. Fifth-round pick for Quandre Diggs, who just got a big-time extension with the Seahawks. Like, I would rather use one of those late-round draft picks to get a guy who is proven, or someone that has been in the league and has shown that he can play on the field. Even if you end up being wrong, what's the problem? It's a late-round draft pick. So can we please get off of that? It's getting frustrating to me because there's lots of people that get all nerdy. Oh, the draft killer. Blah, 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 blah. No, calm down. It's a late-round draft pick. It doesn't matter.
Those are the people that get really into it, though.
I know.
Like, they're in the weeds but when it comes to the draft things.
Don't they need to get out of them?
All right, so we're checking in on this Deshaun Watson situation. No new news so far. Adam Schefter, his last tweet was an hour ago, and that was when he said that the Browns were notified that they're no longer in the race.
Which we kind of assumed already.
Yeah, we kind of... Sorry, just burped. Ew, could
nice.
Feel that. 2 hours ago, he says there's no Matt Ryan contract restructure in Atlanta, nor any agreement on one, and the Saints can almost already afford Deshaun Watson if the quarterback wanted to go to New Orleans, but they did create cap space, which is what we've talked about.
Okay, so it seems like, based off of that, that is an important detail to note, because Matt Ryan's contract is going to be a giant burden for whatever team takes him on. And the Texans, you know, theoretically, they could make that happen with some restructures of their own, and I would imagine some sort of weird extension that they would give to him, or a lot of the money is going to be up front, given that this season they're probably not going to be very aggressive the rest of free agency. But it's important to note that they have not essentially made that contract kick in yet, because that means that Matt Ryan is movable, as opposed to, you know, what the Saints are dealing with right now, where it feels like they are still scrambling to catch up to where the Falcons currently are. But if there's no actual timeline on the deal, and it does feel like all of a sudden maybe there's no timeline, at least like that was what we saw from the Mike Florio, Deshaun is torn take, that the Saints are perhaps going to get as much time as they possibly need to get this done. And I think that there's a lot of factors that will ultimately add up to Deshaun picking the Saints.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's between the hometown team, it seems like at least, between the hometown team, the Falcons, and the Saints, where he could go to a more quote-unquote solid situation for sure. So after Deshaun Watson makes his choice, and I would love to get you guys tweet us, twitch us, text the text line.
713-780-3776.
713-780-3776.
Got it. With a hair flick. I like it.
After Deshaun Watson makes his choice, how do you guys think the quarterback dominoes fall? Do all of a sudden the 49ers have more clarity? Do the Colts have more clarity?
Jimmy G, Matt Ryan, and Baker Mayfield are the three dominoes left to fall afterwards. And I would imagine, Vanessa, at least one of those guys will end up being on the Indianapolis Colts. Which one scares you the most? If you're a Texans fan, because obviously you want, and also, which one do you like the most? Because you do support
Indy. Mean, I'm like you and the Patriots. Like, this is a real thing. Like, for people listening, we both want the Texans to win.
Yes, we do.
Like, we actually want them to win.
I've felt weird in the past watching the Texans play the Patriots and like, wait a second, I don't know who I'm rooting for right now. And that was with Tom Brady there. It's definitely different now.
The thing that scares me about Jimmy G is the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that scares me about Baker Mayfield was the lack of consistency. So out of the three, God, do you go Matt Ryan?
I've always thought Matt Ryan's a little overrated, but Matt Ryan's been an MVP before.
Yeah.
We have seen Matt Ryan play at an incredible level, and you would think that, okay, playing in a different situation would be better. There's a lot of Matt Ryan stands across the NFL. I've always liked Jimmy G a lot more than others do, but yeah, I would be most concerned if the Colts were to bring in Matt Ryan, at least in the short term.
So who do you think short term gives the Colts the best chance to win?
Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I think Matt Ryan, with Matt Ryan, there is a possibility of going past the second round of the playoffs. With Jimmy Garoppolo, I think that's where you die. With Baker Mayfield, that is where you die.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all about Jonathan Taylor,
and
honestly, if you're
Indy
anyway.
And I would say that Baker Mayfield's attitude in Indianapolis, like, would not go over well among the blue-collar, like, you should be lucky. That's one thing that you have to adapt to the city you're in.
So he has to go to Seattle, then.
Like Reggie Miller was a California kid that, like, managed to be like, I'm a Hoosier, even though he wasn't. Like, you have to adapt to wherever you are.
Okay, so as someone who has lived in Seattle, I think people would be very appreciative of Baker Mayfield's grungy persona, in that he's something's in the way.
Singing some Pearl Jam.
Did you see that Nirvana listening is up 750% since Batman came?
Because people like you get in the depressive mode.
It's been me playing that song over and over and over again on repeat, and just like staring down at the floor and slowly looking up dramatically, like I'm in a movie trailer.
Yeah, tweet us, Twitch us, text us. How do you think the quarterback dominoes fall once Deshaun Watson makes the decision that he makes? Who goes where? How do you think that those dominoes fall? Are you going to have teams that decide to, I mean, take a serious look at some of these rookies? Adam Schefter just tweeted, for what it's worth, Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan has a $7.5 million roster bonus due Friday.
So that has to get done soon.
So we got to make moves if you're Atlanta.
Okay. I'm going to, here is my prediction. I'm going to guess that Matt Ryan ends up in Indy, that Baker Mayfield ends up in Seattle, and that Jimmy Garoppolo ends up in Cleveland.
Really? I think Matt or Jimmy could end up in Indy for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know that I see them bringing in Baker Mayfield based on his recent injuries and his complaining. Not the franchise for that.
I think Seattle would look at it, though.
Yeah.
And I think with Seattle, I know they also brought up Colin Kaepernick yesterday at the press conference.
Yeah. Is that going to happen?
No. Here's what bothers me about the people that are still like bringing up Colin Kaepernick. They'll put it on social media. They know they're going to get like 1,000 likes and retweets when they put it up. Like, yeah, go off, young king, hashtag the king from Milwaukee, hashtag storm's coming. Like that, and they put that out there. Yeah, let's bring him in. He hasn't played in six years.
So that's what I was about to say, because we don't do politics on this show. Regardless of your politics, regardless of where you stand on Kaepernick, anybody that hasn't played in 6 years...
Yes.
I do not care what the reason is.
Right.
It's going to be
for
a
Vic,
rough,
it was 3 years, and it still took him a while to get back in.
Who?
And Vic, Michael Vick.
Oh, yeah,
and Vic's one of the most athletic people we've ever seen.
True.
Obviously, you know, he was in jail.
He just shake the
different.
Rust off.
Right.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, who took the bigger L this week in Texas sports? Plus, of course, we're keeping you updated on all the many NFL moves that are rapidly changing in the league. All right, 97.5, 92.5, tweet us, Twitch us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Noah, what's that song that's killing me that I can't identify it?
Freebird, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Ain't No Fun by Snoop Dogg.
Thank you.
Same thing.
Yeah. Paul with the music knowledge.
That was Still Dre by Dr. Dre.
Who took the bigger L this week? You have a couple of options here.
Yes. Okay. So I feel like there's some low moments for both the Texas Longhorns and the Texas A&M Fighting Aggies. So this way, you know, fair and balanced.
There you go. You're not going to get yelled at by too many people.
No, people will get mad at me. My friends will definitely get mad at me here. Okay, so number two, Texas, in baseball, they have not played well recently. They lost three straight. They lost four of five. They lost to the College of Charleston most recently.
Who was this?
Texas baseball.
Texas baseball.
Texas okay. baseball lost to College of Charleston. And after the game, College of Charleston just horns down them. And you know how they get so pissy about that. Like this... Texas is a bunch of crybabies when it comes to horns down. Calm the hell down.
Yeah,
it's
they
not
do get
that
really
big
mad.
Of a deal.
They do
I mean, because
really
the more mad you get about it, the more people are going to do it to you. Well, also, Vanessa, it wasn't... It's been a week of them getting horns down because Texas State pitcher Tristan Stivers, after he struck at the Fighting Texas State crazy drunks, I mean, what are they? The Bobcats? Southwestern
Texas. Wait,
what's
your alma mater?
No bouts went there.
I went to Texas State.
Oh, cool.
See, I've gained so much respect for your drinking ability now, Noah Fouts, because Texas State people, they know how to party to the point where they had to change the name of their college. And every single Texas State person I know is borderline crazy. Shout out to my friend Alan. But look, Texas State pitcher Tristan Stivers horns downed Texas after he struck out the final batter. Like, he went up to the dugout before celebrating with his teammates. Horns down. A little different if you went to Texas State, I would imagine, because these are people that you probably played against in high school that were thought to be better than you, and here you are. You're the star pitcher for Texas State, and you shut them down. So Texas is getting horns downed again, which I imagine will lead to a bunch of rich Texas alums calling for some law banning it again, because they do that a lot. So that's option one. Was that the worst look? Texas getting embarrassed? Or was it this? A moment that is eerily reminiscent of the time where the Rockets decided to release a report crying about how they lost in Game 7 of the 2018 Western Conference Finals, not because of missing 27 straight three-point shots, but because the refs were out to get them. Here is Buzz Williams practically crying about the Aggies not getting into the NCAA tournament after, I believe, Game 1 against Alcorn State of the NIT.
The process is obviously flawed, and it is apparent that there is way more included that is unseen and unknown in the selection of the 36 at-large teams than what the public is made aware of.
He's crying some more here.
Until there is complete transparency and accountability, the system will stay broken, and this will continue to happen.
So what's more embarrassing? You're number two Texas baseball, and everyone's horn-downing you all of a sudden. Or you're Buzz Williams. You didn't make the tournament. You honestly have a valid complaint about not being in the tournament, but you read a seven-minute statement and are essentially crying during said seven-minute statement.
Number one is way more embarrassing, and here's why. As media folks, with all seriousness, like, we ask people to show us their authentic selves, players, coaches. If he's that upset about it and he knows that it's affecting his program and his boys and his guys that much, I'm fine with him crying. Now, the 7-minute statement was a little Baker Reagan Mayfield dramatic, but I don't hate that he cried. I like and appreciate that Buzz Williams was open about how heartbroken he was. But yeah, the whole Longhorns, and listen, Texas fans, I love you. We have a huge alumni base of Longhorns in Houston.
You're a bleeping baby if you get mad about that.
Continuing to get so mad about horns down as a little baby.
You guys have to own it. You can't ban it from a Big 12 game against Oklahoma. From what you just said about Buzz Williams, I like a guy who clearly cares about his players. And Buzz Williams clearly cares about his players if that's how he feels up there. But look, the horns down thing, what can you do about it? You can't do anything about it if somebody does it to you. To me, this is whining, like so many other teams across college basketball, about not getting into the tournament. You should have been in. It happens. But you're a program that has enough money in it, both in football and in basketball, with high-profile coaches. Buzz Williams was a big deal. Buzz Williams was a very, very big deal when, if I'm not mistaken, he was at Marquette. And, you know, Big East basketball, big deal. They bring him in. They have Jimbo Fisher. You'll be fine. You'll be back. It's whiny. And I do think that there is an element of little brother syndrome that comes with Aggies.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I've seen a lot of it.
But in this case, they legitimately deserved to make the tournament.
You're right.
So if you are the little brother and if you feel like you are always getting screwed and like your heart's always getting broken and then you actually deserve to make the tournament and it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with the tears. The statement's a little much, but what we are hearing from Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin's a legend. Remember when he punched that guy?
Something that
what a badass.
The moon landing's iffy. I'm kidding.
Oh, don't do that. If you say that to Buzz Aldrin, he's allowed to punch
you
in the face.
I agree. I do agree with that.
I got you off track.
No, but Buzz Williams is saying something that a lot of coaches have said, which is this is sketchy. Speaking of sketchy, the Deshaun Watson situation.
Oh, do we have an update?
We don't have a huge update.
Okay.
But I asked Noah to bring the audio in because Ian Rappaport was just on Pat McAfee and talked about what he feels are the two final candidates. And I'll tell you when to cut it off, Noah, but let's just let that soundbite rip if we can.
Buffalo just reported the Browns are out of the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A man named Joseph Person, who we don't know personally, he's in Carolina. He said he feels like the Panthers also out on this. Saints and Falcons are the last two left. And how do you see this playing out, you think, with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, so the Panthers have not officially been eliminated. I would say Joe is usually spot on, so... Person's a great guy. I've known him for a long time. That's not why he's spot on. I'm saying those are two separate things, but I have known him for a long time. I would say the Panthers still have a shot, but have not been told they're out.
Okay.
It does seem to be. It's going to be Falcons, versus Saints, and I think it's really interesting because there's a lot to like for both places, and the ramifications are crazy. Like, first of all, I think if the Falcons don't know today by 4 p.m., they have to pay Matt Ryan's $7.5 million bonus. Yep. But is Matt Ryan going to get traded today by 4 p.m.? Like, I don't know that that's even – I mean, I guess anything's possible, but I don't know that that's definitively going to happen if he goes –
Okay. All right, so that was Ian Rappaport literally just now, and big shout-out to Noah Fouts. Thank you for quickly bringing that in. I did think that was relevant because Ian trusts this reporter that's basically saying Carolina's out of it.
Right, they're in, but they're out.
They're in, but they're out. The Browns definitely out. And then what Rappaport also said just about that money being due this by 4 p.m. to Matt Ryan. Do I think that that would make the Falcons not pursue Deshaun Watson? No, but it is worth noting.
The Falcons will probably need to, in this case, trade Matt Ryan and trade a draft pick to get it done by 4 o'clock. That's what I would imagine is the only way that they can speed up this process so that they have the necessary cap space to do it. So I guess if I'm expecting anything now the rest of the day, I'm expecting Matt Ryan to be traded.
It's a great point.
Right. I think that if he is not traded, then New Orleans wins. I don't see how you make a trade happen with Matt Ryan if that contract all of a sudden kicks in for the Atlanta Falcons. Because it's just so stupid.
It's a lot to take on. And if you're Nick Caserio, don't forget, Deshaun Watson can say, yeah, I waived my no-trade clause for Atlanta. And Nick Caserio can swoop in and say, nope, don't like what we have to pay. I mean, people forget, like, it's not one person having leverage.
Don't you think Watson has a little more leverage than Caserio, though?
It's not all or nothing.
Okay.
And that's what people need to remember. It is not – Deshaun has all the leverage and Nick Caserio has none.
Okay.
And it's also not what people said a couple months ago, which was the Texans had all the leverage and Deshaun Watson has none. Yes, he has a no trade clause.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans don't have to approve a trade.
Do you think that they would sit?
Yes.
Okay. So you do think it's possible that there might not be a trade happen at all.
If they have to take on money that they don't want to take on from a contract, if they have to – I mean, Nick Caserio and Cal McNair do not – Now, I think it would be smart of them to
take
get
on the
rid
money?
Of but they don't have to. People forget that. There are a lot of elements here. This is not Deshaun Watson sitting in a room just taking his pick. Yes, he has his pick, and yes, we know so far that Nick Caserio and the Texans have said yes to the packages received. But if this Matt Ryan thing changes things, what could happen?
Definitely Matt Ryan. If he's traded, then I expect Atlanta to be able to pull the trigger on the deal. But yeah, if he's not, I do think that there is a little bit of a timeline here. And I also think, Vanessa, that all of the offers that I'm assuming Carolina, the Saints, and the Falcons, and the Panthers have proposed. Browns, Saints, Panthers, Falcons. I'm assuming that the Texans would have approved all of those offers.
Yeah, they actually, per Diana Russini, I guess, had to approve them before they could even talk to Deshaun.
So I'm assuming...
So I'm not saying I think that's likely. I'm just saying the Texans, the ownership also has to sign off on the trade.
They do. They do. I think, though, that there's a little more final say in Watson's camp than there is in Caserio's.
So you think it's like mostly a non-issue?
We will see. Again, I am hopeful. This is me being wishful at this point in time, you know? I feel like we're so close to the finish line, and we don't know that we're going to make it.
It feels like it's close. It feels like it could certainly happen today, but that is interesting audio from Ian Rappaport on Pat McAfee. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we put a bow on it before we send you to the Killer Bees. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. Our producer, Noah Fouts, has been awesome with the music today. Shout out to Noah. Mm-hmm. Great job, pal. All right, we're putting a bow on a Thursday. There's been a lot that's happened today, a lot of updates regarding the Deshaun Watson situation, and I do want to just kind of recap that because that is 100% obviously the big story around the entire NFL today, not just Houston. Here's what we know. The Browns are out. The Browns have been notified that they are out of the race for Deshaun Watson. Carolina is technically still in, but the feeling among Ian Rappaport and insiders is that it is down to the Saints and the Falcons. The Falcons, of course, the hometown team for Deshaun. He went to Atlanta to meet with them. The Saints rolled out the red carpet and had a second meeting with him last night with owner Gail Benson, which I think is huge. And obviously the Saints situation team-wise, you could say, is a lot better of a situation for Deshaun if he wants to be part of a contending team. That is what we know so far. And we expect to know more today, I would think.
Yep. I think at the very least we'll know whether or not the Falcons have the cap space to do it. Based off of some of that audio that we just heard from me in Rappaport, with Matt Ryan, I feel like there's a very good chance that Matt Ryan gets traded by the end of the day. It does feel like New Orleans, as Ian Rappaport had suggested yesterday in audio that we had played, is the favorite. I think if you have a second meeting, I feel like you're in a much better situation. And it doesn't feel like there's as much pressure on New Orleans to get something done right now, where with Atlanta, there is a question of time. And remember, this is a team that emerged over the weekend. Like, we didn't really hear about the Falcons until the last couple of days as even being a part of this conversation, where you have heard the Saints for quite some time.
I think time will obviously tell. And, I mean, when you look at where the league year starts and the fact that this is the start of the league year, I think it was yesterday.
Officially yesterday, right, at like 3 o'clock.
Once the Deshaun Watson domino falls, I think the rest of the dominoes fall as far as the other quarterbacks, and we'll see where he goes. I think it's going to be fascinating, and certainly I'm watching the Colts situation. I know a lot of people are watching the 49ers situation. Baker Mayfield sent his long, dramatic goodbye breakup text, but then, oh, by the way, it's reported that the Browns still want him.
That is really funny to me, because it was Chris Mortensen yesterday who basically said the Browns need a, quote, adult, end quote, in the room. I mean, imagine... you have someone who is a very prominent ESPN reporter say that publicly, and now all of a sudden you got to put that back in the box. Mm-hmm. There's no way you could do that.
And as you pointed out earlier, very astute observation when Chris Mortensen said that he said adult. He used quotation marks.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Mortensen was told the Browns want an adult in the room.
It would have been funny if Chris Mortensen was just going hot take mode. He's like, yeah, you know what? I've been with ESPN for years. Baker Mayfield's a baby. Look at this stupid post that he put up there. By the way, every time, Vanessa, that you say Baker Reagan, like I now can envision Baker Reagan Mayfield as being like a girl. Like as some sort of Instagram, like an Instagram like follow. Hi, my name's Reagan. Hi, I'm not happy with what Cleveland's done to me. And you know, like, I get it. It's been a great time. It's been a great time here. But,
I just wanted to hop on here for a second and say that, first of all, a lot of you have been asking about my skincare routine. And I will get to that in a second. But it's just one of those days where I don't understand why I am so mistreated. Everything that I have given has been very frustrating. And I just think when I look back on my life, it's like I've never, literally, like never been treated like this.
You know, you sound like someone who's done this before.
Yeah. No! I'm not basic on Instagram.
Have you, you know, one time I got absolutely annihilated drunk on, what a surprise, Paul.
Yeah.
And on my Instagram, I posted like a video that I had sent to somebody, and it was on my store. And I woke up the next day, and I was like, "Good God, this
was
up."
You could be like Paul Pierce, where you go live on Instagram with strippers and lose your job.
I'm sure someone screen grabbed that, and I hope that they did, because that's like that's. Luckily, it was nothing happened. I was just like looking at myself in the bathroom mirror, and I was like, "Nothing matters." I was essentially, I don't know what the hell I was trying to accomplish there.
And the
was,
best thing is you don't see when people screenshot your Insta stories.
No, you don't. You don't.
So you have no way of knowing.
I will say at least in that case, someone would have to know how to turn on screen recording really quickly so that they can actually get that. Because it wouldn't be a screenshot. You'd have to screen record that one. But yeah, that was.
But you still wouldn't be able to tell.
That's
somebody could go back to your story.
I'm sure
record.
That is definitely.
It's out there and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm gonna cry.
Meanwhile, things got weird at a Texas City Council meeting. Listen to this.
Yeah, so just some context. There's a city council meeting in Plano, Texas, and they have a stand, and I guess like concerned people can come voice their opinions on changes and stuff. And this dude is just freestyling about Ukraine getting vaccinated and Putin. And so this is
current.
A little clip of what all happened.
Ukraine, and I go insane. Put a bullet in Putin's brain.
Hey.
And you got that sanitizer. And you know I got that Pfizer. You know I stick it in my vein. Put a bullet in Putin's brain. Do it for the Ukraine before I go insane.
I liked it. Vanessa's recording me as I dance to that. That was fantastic. That was amazing.
Funny.
So his name is Primetime Stein. That's also a fantastic rap name. Now, he's all over the place, and he's just saying, like, current events. Let me list them.
He's like Bill O'Brien when Bill O'Brien used to list, just got a shout out to the O-line, the D-line, the cafeteria, Janice McNair. Just a lot of listing.
Wide receiver group.
I will say this, though. He was better than some rappers that I've heard today.
Well, the energy was fantastic, you know?
That's true.
And these days, you're getting a lot of people that do the mumble rap thing. Like, Deshaun Watson's a creep. He likes to have people touch his peep. You know, like, I don't like.
Pauly G is in the house.
I don't like those people. You know why I like Tupac, even though I'm musically challenged? Tupac is just yelling so energetically, and I'm like, yeah, even though he's saying,
your body
like,
is banging, baby. I love the way you flaunt it. Time to give it to daddy. Tell me how you want it.
Do you ever imagine what the people in the Hit 'Em Up studio, like the girls in the background saying, get money, were singing when like Tupac's like, I'm going to murder you and your family. East side or west side till I die. They're like, get money. Like looking at him.
Right.
Like, what's going on here?
Pete Davidson got Kim Kardashian's name branded on him.
So that's different than a tattoo.
Branded is very dramatic.
Yeah.
I will say both of them seem to have a spell over whoever they date. Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian.
Pete Davidson, I got to give him a lot of credit. I mean, Kate Beckinsale is,
I mean,
the queen.
Fine.
Ariana Grande, yes. If I'm not mistaken, there's been somebody else that's in the mix where before Kim Kardashian. Like, I'm not even that impressed with the Kim Kardashian one. This was just, like, to be expected. You know, this is a guy who clearly is someone that is drawing a lot of eyes these days. Not for a stand-up comedy. It's just basically like, okay, who is Pete Davidson having sex with? Like, that's pretty cool.
If you could get a tattoo, you brought up this question, of any sports figure, what would it be?
So I used to want on my right shoulder, I used to want a green Boston Red Sox logo.
Interesting.
I used to want that for the longest time, and I thought I was going to get it. And then I never did it. You know why, Vanessa? Because I'm not confident enough in my arms to pull that off.
Really?
I feel like you have to. I don't like seeing. Look, if you have good arms,
yeah,
you can get a tattoo. If you don't have good arms, and I'll admit, I have a nice chest. I do not have good arms. So I can't do that.
I'm shocked because I would think that since you're Irish and since you're from Boston, it would be logical to get the Celtics four-leaf clover.
See, that would actually be a good one too. I've been so far removed though. If I had stayed in Boston, oh, I 100% would have. So I could pretend like I'm some townie from Southie.
I don't love tattoos for me. I don't think I'll ever get one. But if I had to get a sports, I don't know. Maybe I would be like super generic and get a football on my lower back, like a tramp stamp.
that's terrible. You gotta get something better than that.
Maybe I would get like a small 18 for Peyton Manning or a something for Brett Favre, since we loved Brett Favre in my house.
I have a good one, because this way you're doing it, but you're not going too far. You could get like a Colt horseshoe, like on your inner wrist or on your neck or something like that.
Yeah, like a small one.
I just think
people getting sports tattoos in general, unless you are like a player or you own a team, it's very extreme. But that's why they call them fans.
Fine.
Fanatics.
But you have to get one. If you have to get one, what are you doing?
All right, I'm getting a small, maybe a number 18 on my
for Peyton Manning
back.
Okay.
And it's gonna be
where
blue.
On your back?
Upper back.
Upper back. Okay.
And it only shows when I wear like strapless dresses.
Oh.
Peekaboo.
Oh, hey. What's going on?
Well, you have to get one. What are you getting?
I would do. Yeah, I'm not doing that one anymore. If I have to do one, I'm going to get an orange underneath my eye that looks like a teardrop. You know, it's going to look like Syracuse. It's going to look like I killed
someone. Because all the gangsters go to Syracuse.
Oh, they do. They do. All those prep school kids that, you know, had rich parents, they went there. And oh, I slayed up at Syracuse. Actually, no. If I were to get one, it probably would be not the Boston B, but it probably would. As you said, it would probably be like a Celtic
like
shamrock.
Like a four-leaf clover.
Because I could also say, like, well, it's not necessarily for sports. It's not necessarily.
That's true. You could say it's because of your heritage. You are rooting for somebody in the March Madness.
Oh, yes. Okay, so look, I don't know what time they play, and I don't even know who they're playing. But Bryant is a 16 seed, and they have a guy on their team named Peter Kiss. And he is essentially the second coming of Grayson Allen, except for he's like a trashy New Yorker. And so during the conference tournament, after beating Wagner, Bryant's rival, sinking a three, he found some rando reporter and he said to that person, "That's for you, bitch." Like, looked at him eye to eye and said that on his way up the court. "That's for you," because he picked against him, picked against Bryant.
That's
go, Bryant.
That's very intense, but that's what we love about March Madness, that rivalry, that heat.
And the jackasses. Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what we love.
Trashy New Yorkers.
Yesterday in 1861, Sam Houston expelled from the office of governor of Texas for refusing to take a loyalty oath to the Confederacy.
That's why
Texas.
Sam Houston ruled.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knew they weren't going to win. He was smart.
That's your news of the day. The latest on Deshaun Watson, of course, the Killer Bees will have Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham will be with you for the Killer Bees. The latest on Deshaun Watson as it stands right now, the Browns are out. Cleveland is no longer in the mix. Technically, Carolina still is, but Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter and all those guys say it's basically down to the Saints and the Falcons. Will we see Deshaun Watson in a New Orleans uniform or in an Atlanta uniform where he's from? We'll see. We should know at some point soon how it all shakes out. All right, that's been a Thursday. Vanessa and Gallant.
Happy St. Pat's
Day! Happy St. Pat's.
Peace.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5.